still in the United Kingdom, period of history, the United Kingdom. We've looked at the reign of King Saul, the reign of King David. Now we're going to look at the reign of Solomon. 1 Kings begins with the account of David's old age, and then shortly after the death of King Ahab. Covers the reign of Solomon, famous for his wisdom, his wealth, his wives, temple. He built the house of the Lord. In 1 Kings, there's a significant dividing line between chapters 11 and 12. This divides the periods of the United Kingdom and the divided kingdom. The first 11 chapters belonging to the United Kingdom. Then beginning chapter 12, the period known as the divided kingdom. That covers the two kingdoms of Israel and Judah. 10 tribes and 2 tribes. Northern kingdom, southern kingdom. And here are the texts that cover that period. 1 Kings chapter 12 through chapter 22. The book of 2 Kings. Then 2 Chronicles 10 through 36. That's the period of the divided kingdom. And understand that the prophetic books of like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Those are from this period, the divided kingdom. It's during the divided kingdom that the prophets were sent to warn Israel to turn from their idolatry and their wickedness and obey the Lord. But we're still in the United Kingdom, first 11 chapters. 1 Kings begins with David's last days. He's old and stricken in years. Chapters 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 11. And Adonijah exalts himself to be king. In verse 5, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah, Nathan, Shemaiah, and Rei, the mighty men, which belonged to David, they were not with Adonijah. And Nathan the prophet in verse 10, the mighty men, Solomon, they were not called by Adonijah. This would not turn out well for Adonijah. David did not know at this time about Adonijah and his exaltation of himself to be king. So Nathan and Bathsheba changed that. Nathan goes to Bathsheba and they're going to go to King David and let him know what is taking place. And they do that. Bathsheba goes to David. Then Nathan comes in. And in verse 28, King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. She came into the king's presence, stood before the king. And the king sware and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day. That's just what happened. In verse 39, Solomon is anointed to be king. In verse 43, David hath made Solomon king. Verse 46, Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. So Solomon is anointed to be king. You have David's charge to Solomon in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Excellent charge from a father to his son. The days of David drew nigh that he should die. He charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. David's charge to Solomon. So David slept with his fathers, was buried in the city of David, Jerusalem. David reigned over Israel 40 years, 7 in Hebron, 33 in Jerusalem. So Solomon sits upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom is established greatly. The reign of Solomon. And it starts off with who being put to death. We just mentioned him. Adonijah exalted himself to be king, and here he is put to death. Adonijah goes to Bathsheba and petitions of her to go before King Solomon, for he wants her to ask him to give Abishag, a Shunammite, who ministered to the King David, to be his wife. So Bathsheba goes to King Solomon and makes that request. Verse 21 of chapter 2, she said, "Let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, thy brother, to wife." And here's Solomon's answer. He answered and said to his mother, "Why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he's my elder brother, even for him, for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah." Then King Solomon swear by the Lord, saying, "God, so do to me, and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord that liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me an house as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day." And that happens. He puts him to death. He dies. Verse 25. Then Solomon thrust out Abiathar the priest, chapter 2, 26 to 27, fulfilling what? You remember? Jason? Yeah, exactly. Eli's house be cut off. 1 Samuel 2, 31 to 35. That is fulfilled. Joab is slain, chapter 2, 28 through 34. We read a lot about Joab in 2 Samuel. Verse 32 of chapter 2, the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head. That's Joab's. Who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, slew them with the sword, my father David not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. And he did. He put to death Abner in 2 Samuel chapter 3, and Amasa, 2 Samuel 20. He also killed Absalom, David's son, 2 Samuel 18. And for that, he is put to death here under King Solomon. Then Shimei, what happened to him?
Solomon had him killed for disobeying his orders and all the evil he had did while serving the King David.
Good, yes. Absolutely. He was put to death. He was given a charge to build a house in Jerusalem, dwell in it. He wasn't to leave the house. Don't depart. And he agreed to that. He stayed there for 3 years, but then he broke the commandment. He left. And when David, or Solomon rather, heard that, he had him killed. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Then an important part of sacred history, one familiar to us, the Lord appears to Solomon in a dream, chapter 3, 5 to 15. What does God say to him in verse 5? God said, John, ask, what shall I give thee? Can you imagine being asked, being told by God, ask what I shall give thee. What was Solomon's answer?
Verse 9, an understanding heart.
Verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great of people? The speech pleased the Lord. What would you have asked for, by the way? What would I have asked for? He asked for an understanding heart. And God gave him that. Verse 12, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, this next one's conditional, walk in my ways, keep my statutes, my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Then Solomon awoke. Then we see the wisdom of God in Solomon. How's that displayed? Chapter 3, 16, beginning. In verse 28, it says, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Why did they see that? What happened?
Two harlots come, both have evil
They did.
Says, "We'll bring a sword and we'll split the child into the real true mother."
Very good. That's exactly right. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. They feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Then in chapter 4, what's said about Solomon? His princes are listed. And what stands out to you? It's 3,000 Proverbs. Yeah. Verse 32, he spake 3,000 Proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Yeah. What else? Verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of the Egypt. For he was wiser than all men. Spectacular. Must have been. Then Solomon builds the house of the Lord, chapters 5 through 8. David couldn't build it. Why is that? Man of War, chapter 5, verse 3. Thou knowest how that David, my father, could not build an house to the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side. How long was he in building the house? 7 years. Yeah, began building in the 480th year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, the fourth year of Solomon's reign, in the second month. He began 7 years in building it. Then it's dedicated in chapter 8. They bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, Zion, Jerusalem. Chapter 8, verse 1. Verse 20, the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised, and have built an house for the name of the Lord, God of Israel. Solomon praying to God. A lot of good lessons in this text. Like in verse 32, "Hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness." That's describing God. He condemns the wicked, and he justifies the righteous. Make sure we're in the righteous category, not the wicked. "It's God who teaches the good way," verse 36, "that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk." Man does not teach what the good way is. It comes from the Lord. It comes from God. In verse 40, "that they may fear thee all the days that they live." We're given two reasons in this text why we ought to fear God. Verse 39, "God gives to every man according to his ways. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways." That's one reason we ought to fear God, because God gives to every man according to his ways. Condemns the wicked, justifies the righteous. For that reason, we ought to fear God. We're accountable to him. And secondly, because he knows the hearts of all the children of men. He knows everything. He knows all. He sees all. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. For that reason, we ought to fear him. Verse 56, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." Not one word failed. Verse 58, "that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers." May that be the case here in Terre Haute. Verse 60, "that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments, as it is this day." Verse 63, "so the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord." And in chapter 9, Says Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he pleased was pleased to do. And the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, and he says to him, I've heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. And he tells him this, verses 4 through 6. If thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, to do according unto all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. And this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among the people. Who comes to prove Solomon? Chapter 10. The queen of Sheba. She heard of the famous Solomon. She comes to prove him with hard questions. What did she find? Verse 6, she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words, till I came, my eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. God had blessed him. Then chapter 11, Solomon's fall. What happened? Really summarized in verse 1. What's said of him? He did. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites, and Hittites. What was wrong with this? Was that forbidden? It was, wasn't it? Remember, as we studied the law, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, like in Deuteronomy as well, when the law was rehearsed, Deuteronomy chapter 7 specifically. In verse 2, of the nations concerning which the Lord said to the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for they surely will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. They did. They turned his heart away. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Such a sad statement. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth the goddess of the Zidonians, Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as David his father. So the Lord was angry with Solomon, verse 9, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. Loved many strange women. That sin led to another sin, idolatry. Consequences. Verse 11, the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant, my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. I will rend it out of the hand of thy son, verse 12. Verse 13, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And in verse 14, the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon. In verse 23, God stirred up another adversary. Thus, the divided kingdom results. Solomon turns away from the Lord, and now the kingdom's going to be taken from him, rend out of his hand, given to another. And we see that prophesied to Jeroboam and Ahijah. In chapter 11, verse 26, beginning, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zereda, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious, made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass at that time, Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, and Ahijah the prophet, the Shilonite, found him in the way. He had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. So Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him, rent it in 12 pieces. He said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and I will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Why? Because they have forsaken me, worshipped other gods, have not walked in my ways, to do that which is right in mine eyes, to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life, for David my servant's sake, whom I chose, because he kept my commandments and my statutes. And then it's told to Jeroboam, verse 38, it shall be if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. Unfortunately, Jeroboam did not do that, as we will see, nor did any of the kings of the kingdom of Israel. So Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. He slept with his fathers, was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Bringing us to chapter 12, the divided kingdom. It's divided, just as Ahijah had prophesied. The kingdom is rent, two kingdoms of Judah and Israel separated. Here's some facts about them. Of course, the names Israel and Judah, those are the two kingdoms. We're one, now they're two, separate, divided. 10 tribes, just as Ahijah had said, given to Israel, 2 of Judah, area, northern Israel, southern Judah. First kings were Jeroboam and Rehoboam. All the kings of Israel are bad, but Judah, some are bad, some are good. We'll make that distinction. Number of kings, 19 of Israel, 19 plus one usurper of Judah. Dynasties, there were 9 total in Israel, 1 in Judah. There's the character of the kings. Capitals, Samaria of Israel, Jerusalem, Judah. And their fate, conquered and deported by Assyria in 722 BC. Then Judah conquered and deported to Babylon, 586 BC. First Kings mentions 13 total kings of Israel and Judah. We'll look at each of these, 8 of Israel, 5 of Judah. 4 dynasties in the book. First, Jeroboam and Nadab, 2, Baasha and Elah, 3, Zimri, 4, Omri, Ahab, and Ahaziah. So we'll deal with each one of these kings in the book. Beginning with the kings of Judah, the first king of Judah is Rehoboam. You can read about Rehoboam, of course, in 1 Kings 11, 43 to 12, 24, chapter 14, 21 to 31. But also you can read of Rehoboam in 2 Chronicles, chapter 10, verse 1 through chapter 12, verse 16. These kings are recorded again, of course, in 2 Chronicles. Was he good or evil? What was his character? He was evil, wasn't he? Give me something you know about Rehoboam.
Stand out. He took counsel in the wrong place. Instead of the wisdom of the older men, he listened to the younger men, and that created a lot of problems with taxes and things like that. Caused people to revolt.
Yes, good. His father made their yoke grievous, verse 4. And he told him to depart for 3 days, and he consulted with the old men and consulted with the young men. And he forsook the counsel of the old men and listened to the counsel, the advice of the young men. He answered the people roughly. He said, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions, verse 14. And the king hearkened not to the people. And that did not go well for him. When all Israel saw that the king didn't hearken to him, they said, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. So Israel goes after Jeroboam and Judah, Rehoboam. Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. Verse 19. There was none that followed the house of David of Israel, verse 20, but the tribe of Judah only. He was Solomon's son. He split the kingdom, as we just read. 41 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem. In 1422, we learn Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord while he was reigning. He would be invaded by Shishak, chapter 14, 25 to 28. In 14 and verse 30, we read that there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days between Israel and Judah. And in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 12, 1 and 12, 14, we learn that he forsook the law of the Lord. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Evil. Evil king. Then we have Abijah next. 1 Kings 14, 30, 31 to 15, verse 8. And you can read about him in 2 Chronicles chapter 13. How about him? Was he good or evil? Another evil king. Chapter 15 and in verse 3, he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Tell me something about Abijah. Charles? Got anything on Abijah? Steve? Jared? Verse 3? He did. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. There was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. 1 Kings 15, 7, 2 Chronicles 13, 2. And Abijah would be victorious over Jeroboam, 2 Chronicles 13, verse 18. Asa, was he a good king or an evil king? Good king. Asa was a good king. 1 Kings 15, 9 to 24, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, 15, and 16 talk of Asa. He's a good king. Chapter 15, verse 11. Asa did that which was right in the sight and the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. Verse 14, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect, the Lord all his days. A good king. Tell me one thing about Asa. He did, didn't he? Removed his mother from being queen. What else? Good. Yeah. Would we have done that? If our own mother was queen and she was in idolatry, would we remove our mother from being queen? If you want to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, I hope you did. I hope you would. I hope that I would. That was the right thing to do. Good king. He began to reign in the 20th year of Jeroboam, reigned 41 years in Jerusalem, as was mentioned, took away the altars of the strange gods, broke down the images, cut down the groves, removed the idols that his father had made, removed his mother from being queen, and then Ethiopians were destroyed with the Lord's help. 2 Chronicles 14 deals with that. He renewed the altar of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 15, 8. And in 2 Chronicles 15, 12 to 15, notice this covenant that was made under the reign of King Asa. In verse 12, 2 Chronicles 15, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their soul. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman, And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets, with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And it says, he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Good, good time in that history under a good king. That was the result of the effort Asa put into getting rid of the strange gods. He was diseased in his feet towards the end of his reign, the 39th year of his reign. It became exceeding great, disease in his feet. And it says in 2 Chronicles 16:12, yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. Certainly physicians can be helpful, but the Lord is the one who we need to seek. Not only in disease, but also when we're healthy. Then Jehoshaphat, 1 Kings 15:24, 1 Kings chapter 22, specifically verses 41 to 50, and then 2 Chronicles 17:20, deal with Jehoshaphat, good or bad? He was a good king. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 43. He walked in all the ways of Asa his father, turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. And then in 2 Chronicles 17:3-6. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. So the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. Good king. What's something about Jehoshaphat? Reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. He was 35 when he began to reign, the son of Asa. 2 Chronicles 17:7-9, he sent out teachers. He sent out teachers in the third year of his reign, sent to his princes, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, and Nathaniel, Micah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And in verse 9, they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Good king, sent teachers out to teach the word of the Lord, the book of the law. He joined affinity with, he made alliance with Ahab, king of Israel. That wasn't a good thing. 1 Kings 22, 2 Chronicles 18. Then Moab and Ammon were slain, 2 Chronicles 20. And then Jehoshaphat also joined himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, 2 Chronicles 20:35-37. We learned something from Jehoshaphat. That's not to help the ungodly. 2 Chronicles 19:2, after he had helped Ahab, king of Israel, he was wicked. He said, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? He helped the ungodly. He loved them that hated the Lord. And therefore the wrath was upon him before the Lord. Don't help the ungodly. Don't love them that hate the Lord. We learn that from him. Then Jehoram, 1 Kings 22:50, we'll learn more about him in 2 Kings. And that brings us to the kings of Israel, all evil, beginning with Jeroboam. 1 Kings 11:29-40, chapter 12, verse 20, chapter 14 through 20. 1 Kings, first king of Israel. He, of course, was told by Ahijah, the kingdom will be divided, 10 tribes given to him. He made 2 calves of gold, chapter 12, 27 to 30. He made priests of the lowest people who were not of the sons of Levi, 2 of his more known sins. 2 calves of gold, and made priests of those who were the lowest of people. They weren't the sons of Levi. And in chapter 13, 1 to 10, a man of God cried against Jeroboam's altar that he had risen up. He gave the prophecy of Josiah. We'll read about him in 2 Kings, that he would burn men's bones on his altar. Chapter 13, 11 to 32, we have an old prophet's lie. Remember that story? The man of God believed the lie of the older prophet. And chapter 13 of 1 Kings, 33 to 34, these sad words are revealed concerning Jeroboam. He returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. This thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, verse 34. His house, as a result, would be destroyed. He reigned 22 years. Then we have Nadab, 1 Kings 15, 25 to 31, reigned 2 years over Israel. He did evil, and he was slain and replaced by Baasha. And it was Baasha who destroyed the house of Jeroboam. 1 Kings 15, 27 to 16, verse 6. Also, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 mentions King Baasha. He reigned 24 years. Then Elah was next. He was killed by Zimri, his servant, who reigned in his stead. 1 Kings 16, 6 to 14. So Zimri reigns. How long did he reign? 2 years, Zimri?
7 days.
7 days. 16, 12 to 13. And then you have Omri, 1 Kings 16, 21 to 28. He reigned 12 years, made Samaria the capital, verse 24. And Ahab, who remembers Ahab? Was he good or bad? Who was his wife? Jezebel. You could spend a whole class talking about Ahab and Jezebel. Here's a brief overview for sake of time. He reigned 22 years over Israel and Samaria. In 1630 to 33, you read of his evil. Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, verse 32. He made a grove, verse 33. And he did more to provoke the Lord, God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Not something you want said about you. Evil king. Married Jezebel. Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. First thing. But Obadiah hid 100 of them and fed them. He feared the Lord. Ahab meets Elijah. Elijah the prophet. Important character in this book. Chapter 18, 16 to 18. Remember on Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel, Baal and his prophets were challenged by Elijah. And Ahab tells Jezebel of this. Jezebel threatens Elijah to kill him. Elijah flees. Then you have victories over Ben-Hadad, chapter 20. Then chapter 21, Naboth's vineyard. Hopefully a familiar story to us. And then, of course, Ahab joins with Jehoshaphat to battle Ramoth-Gilead. And that's where Ahab is killed in that battle, 22 verse 37. Is there anything in particular you want to bring up about Ahab? In 1 Kings 21, in verse 25, there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. That's a good summary of Ahab and Jezebel. Elijah, in chapter 21, through the Lord, through Elijah, said, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab," verse 18. And in verse 19, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." And Ahab said to Elijah, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" And he answered, "I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee." The Lord condemns the wicked. We see that again. His house is cut off. And he says, "I'll make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, like the house of Baasha. Be destroyed, cut off." Jezebel would be eaten by dogs by the wall of Jezreel, verse 23. And all that came to pass. Ahaziah, 1 Kings 22:40, 51 to 53, summed up in chapter 22, 51 to 53, really. He began to reign over Israel and Samaria. The 17th year of Jehoshaphat reigned 2 years over Israel. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, walked in the way of his father, in the way of his mother, Ahab and Jezebel, and in the way of Jeroboam. He served Baal, worshipped him, and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel according to all that his father had done. Verse 53. So that's the divided kingdom in the book of 1 Kings. Many lessons could come from the book. Hopefully there was something you gleaned from it in your study. In 2 Kings, we continue the divided kingdom. More of the kings will be brought to our attention. Remember, in 1 Kings, Solomon's reign, the kingdom is divided, and Elijah the prophet ministers to Israel. There's material in the rack for Sunday, Acts 10 and 11, then also material for 2 Kings, Lord willing, a week from today. Lord willing, Dad will be back to teach those. Thank you for being here and your participation.